بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear listeners, thank you for listening in on today's show this afternoon. You are tuned into Let's Talk Life with me, your host, Khadija Muhammad. I hope and pray that each of you are finding peace and solace that this month brings upon us. And let us take this time to pray and remember all those who are facing adversity in their lives. You know, with so much happening around the world, let us pray for our ummah and for the people around the world for ease and strength and relief, inshallah. We are in the last 10 days, alhamdulillah, of the blessed month of Ramadan. And these days carry with it special circumstances and specific benefits for us as Muslims, all of which are essential for our journey of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only do one of the odd days in the last 10 days hold significance, like the Night of Power, which is the most auspicious night in the year, but they also give us the opportunity to benefit from replicating the specific activities that can allow us to be better humans and to be more responsible and to be more aware as Muslims. And in keeping with the theme at Radio Islam this month, let's focus on the attitude of gratitude. And gratitude starts with noticing the goodness in life. You know, all a materialistic culture, it kind of encourages constant wanting and sees possessions as the source of happiness is not actually the most fertile ground for gratitude. And during these times of difficulties, gratitude actually allows us to stay positive and thankful, rather than allowing ourselves to be crushed by adverse circumstances. So let's show some attitude for gratitude. And when we give thanks for even our smallest blessings, we are granted with peace and abundance always. For the show, like I always say, this show is for you. It's about you. And we have an array of coaches and talented guests that bring to the show content that you need to hear. So with that, I ask you listeners, if there is any topic or informative content that you would like us to bring to you on the show, please WhatsApp me on 067-848-5032. Again, 067-848-5032. And we will gladly bring to you whatever content it is and whatever topic it is or whatever issue it is that you need us to bring to you so that you need to hear. And for today's topic, I know it will resonate with almost everyone. And I think it is very much of a topic that needs to be brought to light, as we are all guilty of doing this. And we are even we're guilty of doing this, but we are also victims of this kind of treatment. And this is somehow why we need to be reminded of the deviousness and the unimaginable sin of gossiping and backbiting, of scandalizing, of running smear campaigns, and of judging others on a daily basis. So we will move into the topic of concealing the faults of others, inshallah. And to speak to us about this, please welcome on the show this afternoon, Apa Rabia, who is an alima, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Let's Talk Life, Apa Rabia.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's great to have you on our show this afternoon.
Jazakallah.
I hope your Ramadan is going well for you.
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Apa?
Alhamdulillah. The days are going, the time is flying, and you know, we've just got a few days left of the blessed month. So inshallah, I do pray that Allah allow us to make the most of these days that we have left of it.
Definitely. Inshallah. I mean, that's what we want to accomplish.
That's all. So, you know, with as far as the topic for today's show, Apa Rabia, if you notice, like they say, that, you know, if you notice another Muslim has committed a fault or sin, and what you need to do is you need to secretly advise him against it. And you should not let the devil lure you into gossiping about him behind his back, you know. And if you know of a fault or sin or weakness of another brother or sister in Islam, it's advisable that we should actually guide them instead of scandalizing them. And, you know, treating others the way you would like to be treated is of utmost importance. You do not wish people to scandalize your faults and shortfalls. And I mean, in reality speaking, who amongst us doesn't have any faults? So with that, I ask you, Aparabia, what does it actually mean to conceal the faults of others?
I'm glad that you asked me this. And I was listening, you know, to what you were saying before I came on online. And I'm just loving the fact that we are in the last 10 days of Ramadan. And this is, you know, the perfect time for each and every one of us to make this intention for our for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Each of us, you know, we can do this for ourselves. We started from this moment moving forward in, you know, in this last 10 days, and we carry it forward with us, you know, out of Ramadan for the rest of our life, that we're going to try, you know, to really stick to it. And it's about making 70 excuses. That is what it's about. Because if I conceal the fault of another person, I'm also concealing my own faults. Mm-hmm. In the hadith, it says to the effect that al-mu'minu mir'atu al-mu'min. A believer is a mirror unto a believer. What I am seeing in another person, it's reflecting back to me what I have in myself. Because we are human. So the same, you know, qualities we're going to possess as humans. So when I'm concealing that person's fault, when I'm making 70 excuses for that person, I'm actually also making 70 excuses for myself, which I would love others to make for me. So if that person sees a fault in me, wouldn't I love that person to make 70 excuses for me? Just, you know, give me some slack to say that I'm also human and, you know, I also make mistakes. So I think it's very, very important to start with that, to make those 70 excuses. And by the time we come to like 5 or 10 and we realize, you know what, that I really should just be overlooking this and not speaking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think it's very important for us to realize that we are all humans and we all have faults. We are all faulty.
Definitely. I think what it is that we have to realize where it starts from, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where we need to then understand that it is something that is possible to do. We feel mm-hmm. maybe it's, you know, something that's tough to do, but I also want to mention is that when it comes to concealing faults, right? Mm-hmm. For example, if we are like those that are parents or those that are ustads or mu'allims, mu'allimas, etc., or if someone, you know, it follows a sheikh or some learned person, so in those cases, they are duty bound to help us, you know, correct our faults. So if and they are learned in the sense that they know how to speak to you about, you know, the areas where you need to improve. So in that case, they will not be, you know, opening up our faults, because they're going to have direct contact with you and they're going to, you know, in privacy, they're going to explain to you of how you can improve. So in that case, it would be fine, because it's a responsibility on them now to help guide, you know, those mm-hmm. under them. But in mm-hmm. general terms, for us, you know, with our family members, our friends, society in general, when we are seeing things, then we need to really consider it, except in those cases where it's detrimental. If it's mm-hmm. detrimental to a person, like example, if you are seeing, you know, a child being bullied, you know that somebody is being bullied, then it's also part of our responsibility to, you know, we need to inform a child's parents that your child is bullying another child. Is that something yeah. which is easy to do? Nobody wants to hear it. But when we do it with sincerity, that's where the difference is going to come in.
Yes.
Is that if we do it with sincerity, you know, in privacy, and we speak to that person kindly, and we inform them, then we know that we are doing our duty. Or, like, there's so many times where we find someone has, you know, a drug addiction or alcohol addiction. So in those cases, we can't sweep those things under the carpet because that is directly affecting a person in a very negative way. So those are the times where we need to, you know, make effort to inform a family member of that person, be it their parents or a sibling or someone that can help them. In those cases, it will be fine because we are not doing something to harm the person.
Yes. Yeah, rather than going around and making it such a big deal, you know.
Exactly. So we don't go around now spreading to everybody, you know what, this person has, you know, this addiction or whatever. No, because then that would obviously be causing them harm.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, but also concealing the faults of others as Muslims, why is it so important for us that we should do this, Aparabia? Why should we as Muslims conceal the faults of other Muslim brothers and sisters?
I love this question as well. And it's so important for us. And, you know, recently I've been working a lot on, as an individual, that, you know, when we start setting healthy boundaries within our own life.
Yes.
And the most amazing part is that when we start setting these healthy boundaries, because it helps us, you know, for our own mental health, our own emotional and physical well-being, then automatically we help those around us. And this is why also we need to conceal the faults of each other, is because we are all the servants of Allah. We have to stay united. When we conceal, you know, each other's faults, it helps us to grow that unity amongst us. And that is the only way that we become stronger, you know, as a family, as, you know, community members, as an ummah. And, you know, currently, you know, we're all feeling that fragmentation, you know, that...
Yes.
Since the COVID and there's been social distancing, we're all feeling that, you know, aloofness and that loneliness. So the best way for us to come back to each other is to conceal, you know, each other's faults. And in that way, it will still help us to keep that unity and to keep that strength. So it's very, very important because we can only grow by uplifting each other. So when we conceal each other's faults, we are also, you know, in a way, we are uplifting each other. We are, you know, we are having each other's back. We are standing firm, you know, in loyalty. Yes, it's very important because it's also a form of loyalty that we show as servants of Allah. We are loyal to each other. We are not, you know, just there ready to start stabbing each other in the back or to, you know, put a nail in someone's coffin, because we must remember something, that we all have faults. So if I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to nab this person. But when the tables are turned, because I have many faults and, you know, I need Allah to cover my faults. So somebody else can do the same to me and I won't feel good about it. So rather I prefer, you know, if somebody has my back and I have that person's back. That's such a beautiful thing, because that is how, you know, we start feeling that spirit of, you know, sisterhood, of brotherhood, of humanity, of us, you know, of unity. And it's something which is very, very beautiful.
And I love how you say that, Appa, and even earlier on the way you said that if the best, I mean, the only time that you could actually expose a sin is if it then dangers or if it harms other people. And I think that's an important point that you made. You know, if it's endangering somebody's life or it harms other people, then absolutely expose it, but in a dignified manner. I think people just need to understand the difference between doing it in a dignified manner and doing it out of ego and out of, you know, just that's just what people do at the moment. They become so, I would say that people have become so self-absorbed that they find fault in others because they oftentimes just kind of colorblinded to their own fault, you know. And what this, we have to realize that none of us are sinless. And after exposing a son in a dignified manner and working to protect others from it, we should ask Allah to guide the perpetrator or the person who has committed the sin and show mercy to them, you know, just the way we want, like you said, just the way, in the same way we want Allah to show mercy to us. And I think it's a really great point that you've made. But, you know, Abu Rabia, tell us a little bit about what the Quran and the Hadith actually say about this. I think that is quite important for us to, you know.
Very important, and I'm happy you're asking this, because what I love is that when we look into Islam, you know, in the Quran, the way that Allah Ta'ala speaks to us in the Quran, it's in such a dignified manner, you know, that when we understand what Allah Ta'ala is, you know, telling us from the Quran, in the Quran, then we understand one very, very important point about Islam, is that Islam has very high morals. We have, you know, besides what is like, you know, it's not just black and white in the sense that, okay, things are right and wrong. It's also a lot about socially and morally the way that we interact with each other, with ourselves, and with each other. So as a believer, we always have to, you know, we have that self-respect. Islam teaches us to always have that self-respect. And especially when it comes to this topic about concealing the faults of others, avoiding backbiting, it's something which is such a, you know, shameful act that Islam is teaching us, stay away from these shameful acts. So in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that beware of some thoughts. And the thoughts that we have to beware of is suspicion, bad thoughts. Because it starts from a bad thought. That is where that inclination, you know, to spy on someone or to talk ill about someone, it starts, Shaitan just needs to plant that one seed of doubt in our mind. So if we can avoid that, then it will help us to stay away from the next thing which follows. So Allah Ta'ala explains it so beautifully in the Quran, where He says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann." All those who have believed, once we have iman, this is part of our iman as a believer. It what, you know, it's part of our distinction as believers that we abstain from a lot of bad thought. And some of this bad thought, what's going to happen, it's going to cause us to fall into ismun, into sin. The sin that is going to follow is now when Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy on each other. Because when, if I water that doubt, you know, if I allow it to grow, then what happens is the next step is, okay, now I'm spying on this person. Now I'm, you know, I'm not concealing their faults and I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt. So what I'm doing is I'm spying. So when I'm also exposing the fault of a person, it's also a form of spying and I'm getting tails. That's what I'm doing. And to not backbite, Allah Ta'ala tells us that we should not backbite about each other. Gossiping is, you know, that's the next step. Because I'm not, when I'm spying, I'm not getting the whole picture. Which one of us knows the whole picture behind something that we just, you know, heard or we just seen? We don't know the story, you know, that happened before that or how this, what we are seeing in front of us, how it came to pass. We don't know all of the details. So when I am now, if I'm going to expose this and I'm going to backbiting, I'm gossiping, but what's happening is that I'm not saying a full true story because I don't know the full story myself. So how would I be able to pass on a true story? And then, so part of it could be true and part of it would be untrue. And then in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala further says, you know, would any of us like, would we like to be eating the flesh of that Muslim brother or sister? Like, how undetestable is that? Because this is what gossip is. We are eating the flesh of that person. And then Allah goes further on to say, Wattakullah, fear Allah. The thing that is going to save us from this bad thought, and then, you know, from spying and taking out false and gossiping, is consciousness of Allah. If when this thought is coming into my mind, and I promise you, you know, if we become conscious of this, we will realize that so many times the arguments and the fighting and the discord that, you know, is happening around, it started from this one doubt. When you when you backtrack and, you know, you try to figure out how did all of this start, it's because Shaitan only needs to cause that suspicion. He just needs to cause a suspicion. That's why we have to stay away from suspicion. And in Islam, there's no such thing as superstition. It all, you know, it comes from Shaitan. So if we become conscious of Allah when these thoughts are coming and we realize, okay, I'm starting to feel upset, or I'm starting to feel angry, or I'm starting to feel, you know, like I want to say something about that person, then I need to ask myself, okay, where is this thought coming from? And, you know, and we realize it's only a doubt. And that's when I have to go back and say, okay, you know what, let me make 70 excuses. Because now I'm fearing Allah and I'm realizing that Allah Ta'ala is, you know, listening to what I'm going to say. Allah Ta'ala is watching how I'm going to react and what I'm going to do.
Yes.
So the fear of Allah, that consciousness of Allah, is the thing that is going to save us. We can rather, you know, start engaging in dhikrullah. We can rather start, you know, saying astaghfirullah or read first kalima or something, you know, to avoid the doubt, you know, so it doesn't grow.
Yes.
And then also in a hadith, it's mentioned, and I love this hadith because it's so beautiful. It's two words, but it's so powerful. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغِيبَةَ. Save yourself from gossip, from backbiting. And I just love this because I'm saying that how beautiful is this? Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, you know, he has so much of love for us, and we all know as believers, we all know. If there's one person who has true love for us as his ummatis, it's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we look at love as something that, okay, someone, you know, will say those words, I love you. But we don't realize also that someone trying to save us from the fire of Jahannam, someone trying to save us in this world also from causing that heartache to ourselves, that's also love. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, you know, warning us and he's saying, save yourself, save ourselves from gossip. Because besides, you know, gossip causes a lot of harm. We know it causes a lot of harm. And once something is spoken, it's there's no way you're going to be able to take all those words back somewhere. I mean, how many times we fight, you know, years go past, but there's still some version of some story floating around somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't just disappear. So we rather start, you know, to make effort that we start, you know, nailing it from the root, which is that suspicion, the doubt. And also, so Islam, you know, it gives us al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina. We know that adultery, fornication is such a grave sin. It's a major sin. And, you know, each and every day, every believer consciously, you know, we beg Allah to save us from those types of major sins. And then we don't realize that, imagine gossiping is even worse than that. So we need to beg Allah to save us also from gossip, from us, you know, spreading gossip and also listening to it. And this is also one of the things that I mentioned, is that we're not going to be able to stop everyone from gossiping. But we can stop ourselves. We say that, you know what? I'm not going to listen to gossip. Also, if someone is going to start gossiping, you know what? This is unhealthy for me. I'm not going to allow this for my own self. I'm not going to allow my ears to listen to the gossip. I'm not going to, you know, feed into it. I'm not going to water that in any way. No, I'm going to ignore it. I'm not going to entertain it.
That's right, you know. Aparabia, we're going to actually just move on to a short ad break and we can be back, inshallah, after the ad break to continue with our segment on concealing the fault of others and you really keeping us on tune, dear. So, inshallah, let's just go for a short ad break and we will get back in a few minutes. Please hold with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome back to the second part of our show today. You are with me, Khadija Muhammad, your host on Let's Talk Life. We have today Sister Rabia, who is an alima, and she's speaking to us about concealing the faults of others. And I think it's a very important topic for us as Muslims, and especially now in the month of Ramadan, we can abstain from these kind of sins, and inshallah, take it through with us through the rest of our lives and make it part of our lives to and part of our habit to try and just abstain from gossip. And Aparabia mentioned earlier on of the dangers and the severity actually of being someone who gossips and scandalizes. You know, in the hadith, it says, it's a beautiful hadith, says, whoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults in this life and in the year after. And the matter of concealing the faults of others is mentioned in numerous hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us welcome back Sister Rabia, who's going to continue speaking to us about concealing the faults of others. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Rabia, and welcome back to Let's Talk Life. Sister Rabia, as you said earlier on, you know, according to the hadith and the Quran, there's numerous hadiths and mentions in the Quran of the severity of backbiting and gossiping. From where we left off just before the ad break, would you like to just tell us a little bit more to finish up on that topic of the Quran and the hadith?
Yes, please. There's an incident which is mentioned, and you know it fits for right now, especially as we are in the month of Ramadan, and our fast. You know, we all are fasting, and when we are in the state of fasting, it's so sacred for us that we want nothing to interfere with our fast. So we have to also be very, very careful because gossiping really, really harms our fast. And there's an incident that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once commanded the people to fast, and he said to them that none of them should break their fast until he gives them permission. So when night set in, one person came to ask permission to break his fast, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted permission. Another person came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted permission to break his fast. A third person came, and he said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are two women who are finding their fast so, difficult, but they are feeling shy to come and ask permission to break their fast. So please give them permission." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned away from him. A second time he asked, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned away from him. The third time, when he asked, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "They did not fast. They were eating the flesh of people during the day, meaning they were speaking bad of others. They were gossiping. Go and tell them to vomit." So this man went and he told those two women to vomit. And when they vomited, pieces of blood and flesh came out. And he returned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him what happened. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If that blood and flesh remained in their stomachs, they would have entered the fire of Jahannam." So it's such a severe warning, especially we know that the last 10 days of Ramadan is where we are in these 10 days to beg Allah for safety from hellfire, from the fire of Jahannam. And you know, are we going to want to digest something that we're going to keep inside of us that is going to take us to the fire of Jahannam? May Allah Ta'ala save all of us. So it's a very, very severe warning. And if, like I'm saying, if we can start right now from this very moment, and we say, I'm not going to allow this to taint the last 10 days, you know, of my fast, of Ramadan, and we will find that how much peace we have, we will start to find a lot of peace, a lot of contentment, and we will realize that we don't need to be indulging in such actions. We have so much more, you know, even if it means that, you know, we have to talk about something which can seem so mundane. You know, talk about the weather, just talk about simple things to avoid gossiping. That is much better than us, you know, indulging in something which is going to take us to the hellfire. Yes. And I also want you to mention that, you know, it's a conscious act. We know what we are doing, because think about the amount of time and effort that it takes for us, you know, for a person to spread gossip. You know, you consciously, whether it's you are, you know, picking up your phone and dialing someone's number to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to, you know, phone so-and-so and tell them the story. Or it takes even more time and more effort, you know, if a person says, okay, you know what, I'm going to go and visit so-and-so and I'm going to tell them the story. So, you know, consciously, at each step, you know what you're doing, and each step is a chance for us to say, you know what, do I have so much of time to do such a futile act? This is the thing that we need to start becoming conscious of and start becoming aware of. That, and, you know, I was laughing because I was saying that I really don't know, you know, how to... Like, how do we find the time to do such things? Like, when we have so much of better things to do in our life, how can we take the time that we have and waste that precious time by engaging in such futile acts?
And the answer to that question, you know, it can be found in just everything that you've spoken to us before, Sister Rabia, where you've said that the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is our role model. And he has told us that Allah Almighty will cover our faults on the Day of Judgment if we cover the faults of others in this life. You know, and that is huge. I don't know about you, but I definitely do not want all my sins and my flaws to be put on display on the Day of Judgment. And if you think about it, Allah has every right to call us out on our sins on that day. But we hope in His mercy, and we know that He's most merciful, that He will cover our flaws and our mistakes, because He's most forgiving and most merciful. And if we repent, you know, what is done between the person, the sinner, and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the repentance that is done from the sinner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody knows about that. And you as a person, as the other person, have no right to, you know, publicly expose the sins and reveal the sins of others, where you have no idea what the relationship with that person is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what they have done to repent for their sins.
Because that person could have spent, you know, the whole night, you know, repenting to Allah, and Allah forgave that person, and we are incurring sin because we don't know that person, you know, was asking for forgiveness the entire night. So we are just causing ourselves unnecessary sin that we are causing to ourselves. You know, if only we can understand that why do we want to carry this? And a lot of times when we feel burdened, it's because we're carrying these unnecessary, you know, sins on our shoulders, and it's making us feel so burdened.
Yeah, and that's just it, you know. It's not, I personally feel that it's not anybody's place to go around and exposing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to hide of someone's mistakes. So it's nobody, no one on this earth is Allah and has the right to expose the other's sin, whether it may be personal or whatever it may be, but you know, we should just pray and use Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a role model to actually conceal the faults of others. And you know, like I say, a self-absorbed person will be the one that will find faults in others, because oftentimes they don't see the faults within themselves.
You know, with us also is that we don't, you know, a lot of times as human, we don't realize that we need to own the space that Allah has placed us in. Example, we are human. Our space that we need to be in is that we have to stay humble. You know, as low, you know, low to the ground in sujood, in sajda, in front of Allah. We need to be humble. So when we forget that, you know, that is the beauty, where we find our beauty as humans, is when we humble ourselves. The lower we make ourselves to the ground, you know, in sajda to Allah, that is where we find our beauty. Now when we forget, shaitan makes us forget, and then we think, you know, we need to come into a higher place, you know, over and above someone. And that is when things also start going wrong, when we start feeling, you know, that's also one of the things that gossiping, backbiting, also, you know, it starts from a place of jealousy or, you know, resentment. And it also borders, because I loved what you said, you know, when you started your show about gratitude. And it also, you know, has an element of ingratitude, because it makes us forget the bounties of Allah.
Alhamdulillah, yes.
And if I'm focused on what Allah has given me, then I will have no need, because I think, you know, I always say one thing is that when we are gossiping, why gossiping is haram and why it's so devastating and causes so much of, you know, chaos and hurt and pain, is generally, you know, I mean, somebody is gossiping about another person because you want to defame that person. Character assassination, you know, that that is what it is. We're not doing it because we want to help that person, or because we want to, you know, help them to fix up what is the problem. And I always say to people that if we really wanted to find solutions to, you know, that thing that we are complaining about or whatever, then we would find better means to do it. We would go to the learned person, or we would, you know, start following a sheikh, or we would go even to a, you know, a Muslim counselor. We would go to those avenues where we are now, you know, have that accountability, and we also, you know, learn those coping skills and those kind of things of how to find solutions for the problem. But gossiping doesn't help anybody. That's just to make ourselves feel better than the next person.
You know, we'll be almost at the end of our show, but I'm going to give you 2 minutes just to give us a brief one-liner on actually what is the punishment for speaking ill and not concealing others' faults, and what is actually the reward for concealing others' faults. If you can just sum that up for us in 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay, no problem. On the night of Mi'raj, when Rasulullah was shown Jahannam and he was shown the punishments, and one of the punishments was that he saw people with copper nails scratching their faces and their chest. And this punishment was given to those who do not conceal the faults of others, who gossip, who carry tales. So it's a very severe punishment. And also the reward is that, as you said earlier, there's no greater reward that we can think of, is that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will conceal our faults. For honoring and showing compassion to others in this world by concealing their faults, Allah Ta'ala will show that compassion and that mercy to us, and He will conceal our faults. And for me, I think that's the greatest reward that we can ever hope for.
What more can we ask for?
Exactly.
But Jazakallah so much, Aparabia. It's been an amazing segment on the show, and I think it was a much needed topic that our listeners needed to hear, because, you know, we are all guilty of it and we've all been also victim of it. So Jazakallah so much for your time on my show today, inshallah. You know, it's just been an honor for me to have you speaking about this topic. Thank you so much, and have a blessed Ramadan, inshallah.
You too. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And there you have it, my dear listeners. That was Upper Rabia taking us down the topic of concealing your faults and leaving us with some food for thought, and certainly something to leave us pondering about on a daily basis. I mean, if you think about the punishment, those nails just like just in your body like that, I mean, you know, it will really bring us to a realization that we should not be fault finders. And remember that judging a person does not define who they are. It defines who you are, you know. Judging a person does not define who they are. It actually just defines who you are, yeah. And if you are a victim to the fault finders, well, there are some people in our lives who, regardless of all the good, kind and meaningful things that they do, they will always focus on the faults that we have. People will always focus on the faults that we have and seek to use them to beat us down rather than to build us up. So, you know, let us pray, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and forgive us for our sins. And maybe we all become better Muslims and practice better than we did before. Not only in Ramadan, which is the best time to do maximum of zikr and seek forgiveness for Allah, from Allah, but also for the days to follow, inshallah. Ameen. A very big thank you to you, my dear listeners, for giving me your time on today's show. Do join us next week, same time, as we share some remarkable content just for you. Remember, this show is for you. It's about you, for your betterment, for your peace, and for creating the best version of yourself. Stay safe and stay blessed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.